Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boys at the 1973 podcast, and this is probably the worst version of Hollywood Squares you're ever going to get. So, right into it. Movie review this week. Bradford had the pick, but before we get into it, Ed, you know what we do. Go.
All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic styles. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality. And that timeless style you crave, perfect for lounging around like a big freaking lizard or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves. Faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone, and check us out at the 1973 Podcast t-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below.
All right, so Bradford, after Ed wasn't in attendance last week, you picked a movie for us to watch from the fine year of 1990. So tell us what the movie was. Bring us up to speed with your choice, the reason why you picked the movie, because Ed wasn't here. Kind of a palate cleanse. Take it away, Bradford.
Yo, Ed made us watch like a 2-hour documentary last week and then bailed on the review. So I had a little bit of payback, a little bit of palate cleanser. So I picked The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, a 1990 gem. This has like MTV filmography stamped all over it, even though he was banned from MTV, I think, at the time that this movie came out. How you get banned from MTV, that's beyond me. You got to be that offensive. But Andrew Dice Clay basically had a bit where he just said really offensive shit. And people kind of laughed, but it was like a nervous laugh. And he got famous off of it. And then somebody somewhere was like, hey, I have a great idea for a movie. Let's just do that for an hour and 44 minutes. We'll toss in a koala bear as a pet, a few catchy catchphrases, some snag lines that really make no sense. And the movie was heralded as one of the worst movies of all time. But it's so bad that you can't – it's like it's a classic. It's classically bad. Like it's funny. It's kind of like Naked Gun, but was this movie before the Naked Gun series?
No.
No? So it's kind of – like it's kind of along that vein. See, he's a detective. It's got Priscilla Presley in it. It actually has a pretty big lineup. It has Wayne Newton. Who else is in it? Morris Day, Gilbert Gottfried, Robert Englund, and Ed O'Neill. Al Bundy, was in this movie. Is the other detective? Like, just crazy shit, man. Vince Neil was in it. It still looked like shit, even though this was in the 90s. Like, dude did not age well at all. The best line in the movie, and I don't understand it. Maybe you guys can explain. I don't understand it. Just say I don't understand the role of the koala bear in the movie. But he's in the nightclub and he's with these broads and he's like, oh, Clint Eastwood? Yeah, I fucked him. Ooh, I don't get that. I can't stop laughing at it, man. Hilarious movie. I'm going to give it the honorary score of 6.9.
So Bradford, we were talking before we went on the air. It was just me and Shaggy, and we were talking about the movie and doing the homework. And I guess I'll give my review while kind of piggybacking on this. I saw this in the theater, and it's one of those
Oh
movies
shit.
that I had not watched pretty much since then. Much like when we go back and watch these movies, it's you're looking at it with a different set of eyes. There's a lot of things that you've watched. The PC police have come in to play, and this movie is definitely dated. And like I was telling Shaggy, I don't know what they were going for, if they were trying to work a franchise out of it for him. It didn't go that route. It was
No.
around the same time as Lethal Weapon. He had the
Yep.
house on the beach. You know, it seemed like every detective from the Rockford Files on that lived in Southern California had to live on a trailer on the beach. And you know, the Ultimate Bachelor, and you know, everything was kind of set around the Dice character, but he's not the Dice character. So it kind of it didn't make sense. The koala bear thing was, I guess, gifted because nobody paid him in actual money. So I think it was like in excess of somebody like that because they were from Australia, gifted him the koala bear as payment for something or whatever. Just that was bad. Lauren Holly was in it, a young Lauren Holly, before you know, the Jim Carrey dating days and all that stuff. So watched it. I'm kind of with Brad on this one. I'd love to score it higher than what it actually is, but I'm trying to be right in that wheelhouse of what we've created with a score system on here. Not too quotable, even though you know it's dice quotes. So I'm going with, as the kids say, 6-7.
Six, seven.
Shaggy, you got to follow that.
Well, I'll just say I agree completely. Like, I feel like it's like we want to be dice, but tone it down a little bit. Just we want the watered down version of dice. So if you're when you're a kid, you're waiting from the big, you know, the big punchline stuff, and you're not getting it. It's like, all right, yeah, I guess that's okay. Yeah, didn't understand the koala thing at all. Yeah, like plus I couldn't find this goddamn movie anywhere, so I'm going off a memory from with a 35 years ago, wherever the hell it is. So let's start with that right there.
Those one was hard to find.
Yeah,
For some.
gem in the rough. Yeah, but I'm gonna give it right around the same thing. I'm gonna give it a 6-8.
Nice.
Professor, can you add some insight into this movie of the week?
Yeah, it sucked. It was all
Wait,
right,
was
but
Icarus bad?
it wasn't too. It was a little bit funnier than Icarus, put it that way. It did this. I stayed awake for this one, but I mean, I there's not much. You guys have said pretty much everything. There were a few one-liners in it that I laughed at. The best thing about it was the band in the beginning that had Vince Neil playing a character, and the guy from Quiet Riot was in it. That I think he might have passed away now. A couple other guys that were in a couple of different bands like Ozzy, but I'm not even gonna waste people's time. I'm gonna give it a 6-2.
Best Andrew Dice Clay impression right now, Professor. Right now.
I got nothing.
You got to do one.
Nope.
Come on.
I'm going to be applying for jobs. I got to be PC.
I'm good.
Hickory Dickory Dock, this movie
Yeah.
was
I mean, he even tried to steal, like, you know, the taxi driver thing with the gun in the sleeve.
Yeah, this,
I
I
mean,
didn't understand that. His signature weapon was a revolver, and he's like pops out of his everywhere he went. Never can never wear short sleeves, and he lives in California.
The clock struck two, this movie blew.
Yeah, hey, the nursery rhymes, that's what got him banned off MTV. That of all
Edward,
things.
what is your score of this fine film?
Who?
Ed.
Oh, sorry.
Edward.
I didn't hear my name, sorry.
I didn't either. Well, there's
So,
only two left.
now let me first, and I'm just gonna say this. First of all, Bradford, I had a excused absence on my absence, okay? Because it was the...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
First time I was ever going to be able to go attend a true SEC football game.
Yeah.
And in Tuscaloosa. Mm. So, unfortunately.
Roll Tide.
It was Roll Tide, let me tell you. It was pretty cool. Number two, I'm sorry that you gentlemen did not enjoy Icarus. And, you know, I mean, Thomas, maybe I'm glad that you got some extra sleep there, buddy. I mean, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. Just, you know, hey, look, I was, and, you know, do I think that, you know, Ford Phelan is a palate cleanser? No, it's like a bucket. It's like, you know, it's a bucket filled with puke, man. I'm going to give it a 5. Okay.
Rookie score.
Rookie score.
5. Right? I'm going to give it a 5. All right. I'm giving it a 5. And the thing about it is, to say, just to tag on to everybody else, this thing was impossible to find. So I had to watch shorts on freaking YouTube and freaking, and then cross reference it with fucking Wikipedia. So, I mean, come on now. So, I mean, at least I picked something that everybody could find on Netflix.
Yeah, I really thought it was on Prime. I really thought it was going to be easy to find. My bad.
You know, and then and the thing about it was that, you know, if you Brad, you were not eligible to be old at this time, at that time, to see truly what Dice really was back in 19, you know, 88, 89, 90. I mean, he was massive. I mean, there were bootleg tapes going around high schools everywhere with Dice on it. I mean, I'll never forget my mother's look on her face when I played that the first time. I mean, she was like, they, I mean, you know, it made Cheech and Chong look like, you know, it's kindergarten stuff. So, right. You know, I did see that movie in the theater a long time ago, but I'm going to give it 5. Vincent Barbarino, you're next, sir.
I didn't have a hard time finding it, and I wish I had.
Let's be honest. You have it up in your collection somewhere.
Actually, I don't.
Oh, man.
That would have been straight. That would have been VHS. No, I was, same thing as like Andy said. I hadn't seen it since I started in the theater, so I was like, you know, went into it like, I kind of was expecting to be stupid, but I thought like the comedy would carry it. Started off good because I forgot that Vince Neil was in it. So as soon as I saw Vince Neil, I was like, oh, this might be all right. And went all downhill after that.
Yeah, it did.
it did. I can't say it didn't make me laugh, though. There was definitely some points in the movie that had me laughing a little bit. But overall, score-wise, I'll go 4.9.
4.9?
Not a fan. And Ed Icarus, way better.
Wow. Thank you.
That might have been the lowest score that anyone's ever given on here.
You know something?
You're not wrong.
You got to think about this. All right. You can't look at it like you're grading school. You got to think from 1 all the way to 10. So if you say something's a 5,
yeah,
that doesn't mean it sucks. 5 is like dead on, like straight in the middle.
That's average.
So if we think a movie sucks, that thing should be like a 3.
What school did you go to? We are 50.
No, I'm saying it's not like school. It's not like school where you're gonna get a 65.
Mississippi school.
Mississippi.
Where you got a 50? And that was
the dirty South.
We like to take the 0 up north.
Listen, this is the what this podcast is all about. Everybody's got their own pick. We're all based on watching it. It's great that it goes around. You pick something, we watch it. What's an hour and a half, 2 hours out of your time for comedy purposes? Something might blow your mind that you haven't seen in a while, and it could be better than when you watched it as a kid because you're watching it as an older person, different set of eyes. It's great. So, Thomas, final score on Ford Fairlane.
6.08.
Six
6.4
point.
on IMDb, fellas.
Ooh, 6.08. So it's a
Yes.
straight six, right? If you round it down.
Yep.
Oof. Or 6-1. Oh.
6-1, you round up.
6-1, yeah.
Yeah, and
Ooh.
it's a 6.4 on IMDb, so we ride in there.
So it is the Phantom's pick. I've got to tell him ahead of time. I did text you while we started recording their Phantom, so you're on the hot seat. Big shoes to
Well,
fill.
part two.
all right. I'm gonna throw something out there that probably nobody's seen it yet, because it's like I think somewhat fairly new. But I had a little discussion about it at home. War of the Worlds with Ice Cube.
War of the
What?
Worlds with Ice Cube. Okay.
Not Tom Cruise?
No.
No, Tom Cruise.
Okay. All right.
I think. All right. I think I'll
Well,
find that one.
I'll save the discussion about War of the Worlds, the lore behind it, for next week. But everybody knows the Orson Welles original and the impact that it had back then when people were, a lot less in the know with the radio broadcast, and people actually thought it was legit. So save that for next week. So this could be a really good pick. So
Does
I
Chris
didn't.
Tucker make an appearance?
Does not.
I'm out.
Will Smith?
Minus 1 point.
Does not. I don't know if it's 2 hours long either.
All right. All right.
Plus one.
That could be the deal breaker. That could be the deal breaker. So Ford Fairlane 6.1. And that's our homework for next week, War of the Worlds. So let's segue over into Ed's favorite part of the show. And we're working on something this week. We're working on something to bring these guys back into to the love of pro wrestling. So yeah, do we get into the Guess the Magazine first, Thomas, or do you want to talk Survivor Series?
Whatever you guys want to
All right.
do. Severities, I'll take a piss.
Let's talk Survivor Series first. So, Bradford, what'd you think of Survivor Series?
Nothing to talk about. Next question.
He
Okay.
loved
It
it.
sucked. It was so bad. You want to know the state of the Ruthless Depression era? Go read the comment section on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere that WWE posts, everywhere that all their fans and their influencers, their paid influencers or unpaid influencers, when they post about Survivor Series, everybody hated it. And I got to agree, it was not entertaining. I'm already frustrated at the fact you got to pay for cable and Peacock and ESPN app just to get all the content. And then they're putting out these trash PLEs. WrestlePalooza, trash. Survivor Series, trash. The John Cena Dominic Mysterio match, I thought was okay. Liv came back. They had some run-ins. I don't feel like they had to run in the entire Judgment Day in that one. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like taking the Tawana bomb from Raquel and then Pop Rocks. Like that's not John Cena, dude. So I think I sent it to the Phantom, but somebody compared Sting's last PLE in AEW, which had his sons involved. It was nostalgic. It was an old school match. It was emotional. Like for me, watching Sting's final PLE, like I shed two tears in a bucket, right? Watching Cena's final PLE, I couldn't help but just, even my kid, my 9-year-old son was like, "Dad, what was that?" I was like, "I don't know, buddy. I'm hoping there's more to it." And then he got the crowd chant, "Thank you, Cena," and he slowly walked up the ramp and he waved one last time. And I'm like, "No, sure." There's like, I kept waiting for like something's gonna pop, something's coming out. Nothing happened. He just walked away, and I was like, "That can't be his last PLE. There's got to be more. I'm hoping there's gonna be something after Saturday Night Main Event." Speaking of main events, the main event, I'm not even going to discuss the women's cage match, Survivor Series, War Games. It was not good. It was botch city. The men's, a lot of botches too, man. Did they even rehearse this shit? Like, they just hopped in the ring, and I felt like they were just ad-libbing through the entire match. None of it made sense. Cody elbowed Punk right out the gate. So I'm, oh yeah, the babyface team is going to start brawling. Nope. They didn't even address it. They just like rolled through the spot and then the match went on. And then at the very end, Roman, Punk, and Rhodes stared each other down and the crowd was like chanting. Like we thought we were about to get a secondary brawl out of these three. And Roman just whispered some shit. You could barely hear what he was even saying. And then he started walking out. The crowd lost their shit. They started booing. Man, I thought they were going to start throwing stuff in the ring. It was not, man, this was not their best work. And I got to say, so far, the Netflix ESPN era was. Remember, we talked about how excited we were for this leading up to. And there's people right now in the chat, threads and whatnot saying, like, if the road to WrestleMania is this flat, if it's this bad, like, people are going to start leaving WWE. And right now AEW is putting on, I know we don't agree on like a lot of like the blood and guts and stuff, but speaking of blood and guts, they just did their version of War Games, Blood and Guts, where they had the two rings connected and it was a bloody, literally a bloody mess. And after watching that, I'm like, I can't watch that WWE stuff, man. It didn't compare. It felt flat, man. Like I was really let down. I'm not looking forward to the next one, like at all.
Phantom, care to add?
Yeah, I agree with Brad. It wasn't their best work by any means. I guess they kind of put over Dom, keep him on a trajectory going up, and Liv with him. You saw it with Liv. Cage matches were terrible. They both of them so bad. You get the mystery man showing up at the end, which they can't keep a good secret. Everybody's already saying that's Austin Theory. I'm kind of curious to see if it ends up being him or like Jericho, but.
100% Austin Theory.
Dude, can you imagine that guy jumps to the ring, does that, and then pulls the mask off and has it have it be like Cross. Place would have freaking went nuts.
What are we nuts?
Nope, everything's like off the seat of the pants. It was yeah, you got Punk, like, every once in a while, I think, I don't know if he has his own rules. He kind of reminds me a little bit of The Rock. He must have came in and get kind of can do whatever he wants. So he gets they're in the cage match. He gets the blood going. Every time this guy bleeds, he bleeds for like literally like 2 seconds. Like he cat scratches himself, and 5 minutes later, he doesn't have a drip of blood on his face. So I'm like, oh, dude, if you're gonna do it, freaking do it.
I was telling you, it's the way he does it. He pokes
Yeah,
himself.
just gives a
Like,
little pink.
where's the, give the slit, give the slice. Let's go. Let's see some, what's his name? Kyle O'Reilly type blood, Samoa Joe. Get in there.
How about Braun Breakroom snapping his neck?
Ooh, on
Oh,
the
man.
botched Doomsday device.
Dude, he landed
Yeah.
straight on the top of his head.
Yep, that was
That.
Punk too, man. Like
Yeah.
half-assing and he's kind of known for that right now, man. He don't have the
Well,
athletic ability to execute some of these moves anymore.
he's probably the oldest guy in the match, and he comes out first.
Yeah, did
So
not
yeah,
understand that.
so you're already gonna waste a half an hour before the match
Yeah.
even starts.
Yeah.
I don't know if they need to revamp the way they I know they're trying to mix like the Survivor Series plot in with the War Games. The cage should have a roof for one. Second, like, can they do like the old like Survivor Series where it's like once everybody's in, you get eliminated one at a time? Isn't that how they used to do it in the past? That it would be like 5-1, it'd be 4-on-3. As you lose, it could be like a whole team against one guy.
You talking about classic Survivor Series or the War
Yeah.
Games rules? Because the War Games rules is submission or surrender, no
No,
pinfall.
no pins. Yep. No, I mean the old like Survivor Series. Didn't
Yeah.
they used to get eliminated one guy at a time would lose, and
Yeah.
then it would. Why don't they do that?
They
Too
didn't even
many.
have one of those matches this year, did they?
No.
No, it's like
No.
they call it Survivor Series, but they want to take on the mantra of War Games. But it's like they have this lead up with Cody Rhodes. It's like, oh, it's my father's match, blah blah blah. He was like almost a non-factor in the match. The
Yeah.
part I don't like how they do it, like in like modern times, like the ones more recently. It's like the only people that are on the hard camera are wrestling. So it's like they know who the camera's on, and those guys are having at it, and then everybody else is just laying around like. These guys can take finishes, and nobody can ever get pinned on a finisher. But they're catching a random drop kick, and then they're laying in the corner for 3 minutes waiting for their spot to come to get up. And like they should all be whether they just got each other in headlocks or they're just like play fighting in the corners. Everybody should be moving around. Not everybody's just laying around, just like you. Even when the guy jumps the cage, comes in, does the curb stomp, everybody's just kind of like off on the sides. And then it gets the pin. It was horrible.
I'm gonna throw this one out. Then this is one of the things that bothers me about the modern wrestling, and this is kind of for Ed too. So during the match, Ed, they had a mystery guy run in, and he was dressed all in black, right, hood and everything. He did some stuff, and he ran out of the cage. Real basic. The people on the internet, they have no. They can't let anything simmer on the pot when it comes to instant gratification. They have to know right now who that guy is. You cannot get over a long storytelling where everybody needs that instant gratification. Like, it's killing these, what you would call smart mark fans, that they don't know who it is. Why do you have to know who it is, dude? Can't you just watch? Whether your sport is football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever it is, do they just tell you at the beginning of the season, oh, okay, we're awarding the championship to so-and-so. Oh, okay, I don't have to watch the whole rest of the season. It's the ride. What? I don't understand why people just can't watch it and be entertained and have something to talk about with their buddies or whatever. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. No, they got to know. I want to be the smartest guy out of my group of friends to tell you who it was. Who cares? Just watch it. Enjoy it. Whether you're watching it with your buddies, your kids, your family, your grandmother, just relax and freaking watch. That's what's killing me about the modern day wrestling fan. Go ahead, Ed.
I think it really, what it comes down to is that, number one, all the bookers and the story and the storyline people need to sign non-disclosure contracts. That's and you break it, you're gone. Like, first and foremost. And then number two, I'll speak for four of us or five of us here on the panel. Brad, I can't speak for you because you weren't alive. How many times watching TBS and all of a sudden it's 7:04 and 59 seconds? And something's going on, and then they cut away, we're out of time.
Hang on.
That's it.
The crazy part about that was they never told you what happened.
Yeah, but the thing is, you were sitting down in front of that TV. So that's the thing about it why do you always want to know the ending? And the thing about it is just like that's why. I'll speak for myself, and I'll probably speak for Shaggy too. That's one of the main reasons why I can't get into it, is because the storytelling is terrible. In the promos, they're terrible. Like, they're bad. And, like, to piggyback on what – I haven't even watched it, but just listen to Ryan. I mean, Ryan has some great insight on wrestling and stuff like that. His thought process is really good. And the thing about it is like, if you have that, like, I mean, you go back to the stuff when you used to put the Freebirds and the Road Warriors in a cage together, and then you throw the Von Erichs in there or you put the Russians in there. I mean, everybody was battling. Nobody was sitting in the corner sitting there like, okay, is the camera on us? I mean, and maybe all this technology that we have is making things worse because there's too many cameras.
Social media. Back then, everything lasted because there was no social media, so somebody couldn't go on 5 minutes after it happened and type and tell you and spoil it. That's made people generally psychology wise, people haven't changed. It's people would have done it back then if they could have. They just couldn't do it.
I don't blame the cameras being too many cameras. I mean, you still had to sell it for the crowd. Like, you're sitting there, you're thumbing your ass. The crowd can see that. They're not going to buy into it. Like, they're there the whole time. Like, you still had to sell it. Like, oh God, get my ass kicked. Like, just bad acting.
I was reading online that they had all kinds of problems backstage before the show with the guys in the main event. They couldn't decide. They couldn't figure out who was going to be the order of the guys coming into the ring. They couldn't decide who was going to actually take the pinfall. I guess their egos. There was all kinds of ego battles going on. But the thing that aggravates me, and I didn't even watch it, but I did see video of different things online, and even AEW does it sometimes. They wait, that's everything's so choreographed now that like when Io Sky goes up on the top of the cage. She's up there for friggin' 2 minutes holding the, and the people on the ground are like we're at the bar, hands on each other's shoulder, just sitting
Jump on me. Jump on me.
Yeah. I was like, come on. Oh, that drives me crazy.
I agree with you 100% on that, Tom. So let's do a little new segment. I'm gonna try something this week for all the old school wrestling fans. I got an issue. Now, this issue of, I'm not gonna say which issue it is, but you gotta guess the year, and you have to guess if you can dial it into the month of this wrestling magazine. So it's in between the years of 1970 and 1990. So a 20-year clip. The headlines were always what sold the wrestling magazines back then. So I will reveal at the end what it is, but it's for mostly we're trying to bring Ed and Shaggy back into the fold for this wrestling segment, so they're not got their, as Shaggy would say, thumb up their ass. So Ricky Steamboat is on the cover, and the caption says, Ricky Steamboat makes it big in the WWF. So that should give you a baseline right there. It's a full color pinup inside of Gentleman Chris Adams. The headlines are, the Road Warriors threaten the AWA. Any guesses yet? On a year?
85.
It's 85 too.
I'm Fuck,
going
oh
80.
yeah.
I'm going 87.
83.
Okay. So,
I'll go 86, even though I want to go 85.
okay. Who, Shaggy, what'd you say?
I said 85.
Shaggy is correct. It's 1985.
Shaggy and Brad were
Brett.
correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh,
Brad's in
Brad.
too.
All right, Brad, I didn't hear you, but I will give you high marks on that.
A
Now,
wild fucking guess, man.
wait, hold on. So we pinned down the year. Now let's try to get the month. Now just remember, Ricky Steamboat makes it big in the WWF. And
They're not there for
the
titles.
Road Warriors are in the AWA at this point. They're not in the NWA, Ed. There's one more headline. Bruiser Brody is the Mercenary of Mayhem.
Oh, you should have started with that.
You just would know it's pre-death, so
Say Bruiser's still alive. Got it.
all right, so give me a month. Shaggy, what month you got?
I'm gonna guess February. I have no idea.
Okay, wrong.
May.
Thomas, what'd you say?
May.
Wrong. Brankowitz, what do you got?
August.
Wrong. Edward, what do you got?
April.
Wrong. Bradford, what do you got?
Damn. June.
Wrong.
Damn.
Motherfucker. You don't get two
What was
guesses in a row.
Talk slower. I'm trying to type here. Hold on.
Listen,
No.
hold on. I'm going to reveal it. It is October of 1985.
Damn.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Ricky Steamboat on
You should have my 10th
You
birthday.
should have told us he had the haircut. Come on. That would have been right
I
off.
said he was on
That's
the
an
cover.
October haircut.
Ryan Branko, big fan, Pro Wrestling Illustrated back in the day. How awesome was this magazine back in the day?
They were nice to get if your grandmother was paying for
Did
them. Go
you
put that
own
back.
the, did you own this one?
I did not, no.
A good one. It's a good one. So that is Pro Wrestling Magazine of the Week, October 1985, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. So we'll move away from the wrestling.
I have an idea to add to this. I think
Yep.
you need to have a fireplace, and I think you should have a rocking chair, and then you can read us an article. He's got other magazines for that.
Yeah,
DF
that's
Penthouse
true.
Forum.
Yeah, dear Penthouse Forum, but we'll save that for another
HR
segment. Thomas,
department. I can't.
it is your segment for Shitty Picks. We have a new sponsor this week. Thomas, you want to tell us all about it?
Sure. 1973 podcast is brought to you by Leet Hockey Company. Excuse me. Let me start over. At Leet Hockey, it's all about the game. Whether you're a seasoned pro, a weekend warrior, or lacing up for the very first time, they've got you covered. From top-tier gear and custom equipment to apparel, live event experiences, and full-time support, Elite hockey is built by hockey players for hockey players. This isn't just a brand, it's a community. A place where players of every level can stay sharp, play hard, and live hockey. So if you want to elevate your game, support a company that supports the hockey world, and join a movement that's growing fast, check out leithockey.com today and tell them the crew from the 1973 podcast sent you.
What do you got, Thomas?
All right. It's going to be slim pickings next week for college football. It's going to be all championship games. And I mean, I think they're all going to be chalk, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go, I'll give you three. I'm going Texas Tech over BYU in the Big 12. I'm going to go with Georgia over Alabama. I think Alabama losing the running back. Miller, I think that kills them right there. And I'm going to go with Ohio State versus Indiana. I don't think anybody's touching Ohio State this year.
Ed, you want to talk some foosball or what?
Love to talk some football now. I'm just going to toss this out to the panel. So, what does everybody think about the whole Lane Kiffin thing? I'll toss that out as the first talking point. Anybody like to dive in?
I think Brad's pre-gaming.
All right. Well, I'm going to kick this one to Brad because he just did throw his lid on. So, you
Oh,
know. So, Brad, what
I
do you
was at
think?
the Egg Bowl. I'm glad I went too, since it was his last game. I don't understand how you take a team to its first time record of 11-1, playoff bid for the first time. You took a program that's always been like top 25 competitive, but bottom of the barrel SEC. I mean, you made us competitive, man. We've had 8, 9, 10 win seasons, bowl eligible since he's been there, and that's big for Ole Miss, man. We beat. Since he's been there, we beat Georgia, we beat LSU, we beat the big dogs. He never got a chance to beat Nick Saban because they shuffled up the schedule before he really got rolling. So we lost a couple of times to Alabama, but I think we were always on the cusp. But you take a program that has actually owned LSU since his tenure, and then you're gonna leave an 11-1 franchise and go to somebody that's 8-3 or whatever their record is. Who's known for firing coaches after 3 or 4 years that when they don't produce? It's like you could be the god of college football in Oxford, Mississippi, have the statues, have the stadium named after you, probably get a street, probably get a library or a building, something's gonna be named in your honor. You go down in history, and you have the family ties with his dad there, so you would go down in history as one of the greatest of all time in Oxford, and you're going to leave that and go to LSU and probably get fired in 3 years. Not only that, I'm not a fan of the way he did it, stringing the program along, waiting until that.
Oh no.
They played these teams. It's hard to win in Starkville. They still suck, don't get me wrong. But Ole Miss beat them blew them out. It was not even a contest. It was such a fun game. I'm glad I was there to see it. The Ole Miss fans traveled. We showed out. Really unfortunate, man. I feel bad for the players. Like, we're about to go into the playoff, and now, I don't know, man. I don't like the way he handled it. It's same old Lane Kiffin, though. Like, we all thought he changed. Same old Lane Kiffin, bro. Same old. See you in 3 years when you're fired, dude.
Yep.
Anybody want to add to that?
Jack, we can't hear you, brother.
Oops.
Turn your microphone on.
Shaggy,
Be
turn your
on.
mic on.
Sign language.
Should be on.
Oh,
Yeah,
you're
you're
on.
back in,
You're
you're back
on.
in the
Now
game.
you're
You're
up.
back in the game.
Hey, what happened?
Okay.
Hey,
Wow.
good and you.
Anyway, I don't understand how you're allowed to leave. Your team's like going for a playoff. Like, I understand if you're like 4-6 and you're like, oh, all right, our season's done, but I'm like, if you make, how are they allowed to do that? Like you don't see a player like, oh, sorry guys, I'm transferring now. I can't make it to the playoff game. Like I don't understand how that's even legal.
He even threw a temper tantrum and he wanted to coach them through the playoffs. The AD is the one that said no. And then he threw a tantrum and threatened to take his staff and players with him to Baton Rouge. And then
And
he
he took
wound up
him.
call he called his staff and told them that if they weren't on the plane, they weren't gonna have jobs. I'm like, dude, same old Lane Kiffin. This is dickheaded moves, man.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's just, I mean, and I don't even see you're gonna go to LSU and you pulled the Brian Bray, pretty much a Brian Kelly move. Think about yourself and everybody else. Like, what you think kids are gonna come and be like, oh, I'll go play for him. He'll be there my whole 4 years I'm there.
It's trash, man.
Yeah.
I'm going.
He is a hoe.
He's a
No.
hoe.
I'm going devil's advocate. This is a job, correct?
Right.
Aren't you moving on to the better job?
I agree, but I
That's
don't see him get a
debatable.
ball of
Sorry,
seasons going
Brad.
on.
Pay-wise,
LSU is a better
pay
job.
doesn't mean better, though. Pay doesn't mean better.
The money's going to be more, the recruiting's going to be easier, and the resources are better. Well,
Yes. I just don't get how you could do it during the season.
the thing about Oxford, though, his kid is a star quarterback at Oxford High School. His daughter attends there. He finally got to be a dad again. He gave up drinking and booze. And if you look at Lane when he got to Oxford, bro, he was like his face was like swelled up. And then he got on some Ozempic. He got in shape. He like leaned out. He quit drinking. You know what I mean? Like Oxford is like home. Like it wasn't just like he was a coach and it was a job. It was like home. Yeah, the recruiting is easier at LSU, but I think if you just took a team to 11-1 into the playoff, that's got to help for something, right, Ed? Like that's got to help for recruiting.
I would think that, I mean, and I don't know, I've never been to the Grove, Brad, but I mean, I've heard that the Grove is pretty awesome.
It's electric.
You know, I mean, and, you know, I mean, why would you want to go sit in traffic in Baton Rouge? I mean, quite frankly, I mean, don't get me wrong, around the campus at LSU is pretty nice, not gonna lie, but I mean, I would say that why wouldn't you, they, and just piggybacking on what everybody else has said, like, I
Not
mean,
me.
LSU, every 3 years, you're gone. Like
Dude,
is,
you get to keep the money.
yeah,
Yeah.
but I mean, I don't
They're
know.
gonna
The governor said that that probably ain't gonna happen this time.
The last guy go fight, he left with $17 million in his pocket and didn't have to coach no more.
Yeah, the best job in America is to be a fired LSU football coach.
There you go. Nope.
Couldn't
And
happen to a better
there's a
guy
little
because
there's
no,
a little
I said it couldn't happen
conspiracy.
to what's
I
that?
was gonna say there's a little conspiracy going on too. That is his daughter was banging
Yeah.
that kid that was on LSU.
Yeah, greasing the wheels.
He was going there the whole time.
Yep.
It couldn't happen to a better guy because from what I've seen since this whole thing happened with Brian Kelly, he's going to have a lot of fucking people to answer to. It's not just the athletic director. Seems like it's the guys in the government. They're
The
like
governor.
down there, the fucking governor and everybody else. So he deserves a headache he's going to get because this what he's doing to these kids right before the playoffs. I don't mind if you just wait a month
A month, exactly.
until the season's over or when they if I'm not to say they'd get eliminated week one or whenever they get eliminated in the playoffs, just do it then. Show some class. It's just to me, it's there's no class whatsoever, and it's Lane Kiffin. I mean, look at his track record. Where everywhere he's gone, he's done something douchey. I mean,
Yep.
I don't know.
They were saying too that LSU wasn't going to wait for him to give the decision till later because they have to get their hire in. All
Yeah.
this portal stuff's about to begin and all that. So they're, you know, big picture wise, yeah, it'd be great to let them play it out. But they need to know now because if he says no, then they're going to be behind the eight ball.
Once
Yeah,
again,
all
I blame the
the
NCAA for that. Like,
yeah, the
change the
coaching
portal window.
carousel started though. That's why they had to rush them because
Yeah.
every hopeful the LSU could have hired signed with everybody else. So they had to pressure Lane. 100%, this was Lane Kiffin's fault. 100%.
They were saying too that he also now any of the now all these kids that are at Ole Miss are all in limbo. They
Yep.
don't know who's coming in. So if they want to get into the portal, now they can't play in the playoffs. So anybody that bounces isn't going to be playing.
I think I read that they said the DC is taking over as a head coach. Like
Yep.
he is the head coach.
Yeah, I saw somewhere that that was permanent. It wasn't just going to
Yeah, permanent.
be
Yeah.
like an
I'm thinking
interim
that
thing.
that'll be pretty seamless. I'm sure that they're going to coach him up all the same way,
Yeah.
but still, it's still kind of perfect world. It's, you know, like so many times these guys, like everybody knows they're leaving, but they just kind of like, nah, I don't know, I haven't made a decision yet. And then after the game's done, they kind of let it out. But for him to have to let it out now, right before the playoffs comes, tough. But if I'm him, I'm bouncing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I just don't get like once like we're talking about like maybe the portal window should wait till after the season. Like, why are you getting allowed to open a portal while the season's still going on? Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, but the reason why they're doing that is because at the school semester ends and then they got to get into the other school so they can get into the spring semester.
Ah, fuck them.
Well, I mean,
They're not going to class anyway.
None of these kids are going there to go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
don't teach. Where am I supposed to be?
Yeah. Hey. You know, all right. To the next question. I assume everybody watched the Iron Bowl last night?
I watched parts of it.
Second half, okay. I did.
So my question to you is this, is does anybody else get really annoyed with the announcers lately on how they are like really pumping the tires about making it not to be football? Does anybody get tired of that? Like, all it is like it's turning into powder puff football. It's like every single pass that gets tossed in the air, it's pass interference. Anytime a quarterback puts their hand on a wide receiver, it's pass interference. I mean, like last night. I mean, look, what did the in the middle? I think it was in the first half. One of the defensive backs from Alabama, I mean, with the crown of his head, and I mean, you could hear it clear as day on TV that he smacked the kid from Auburn with the crown of his helmet, and they went back. Like, if they don't see it in the game, why are we pausing the game to stop the game? Does anybody and like this whole thing of like, oh, that should have been pass interference. Oh, I think, oh, and like they're just taking all the aggressiveness out of football. Like, look, don't get like, look, if you're afraid to get hurt, don't play. It's that simple. Like, does anybody have any comments to say about that?
What does that have to do with the announcers?
Well, the announcers are like making it seem like that, you know, they're the ones that are pumping the tires about, you know, like, oh, that shouldn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, they want to make it more powder puff.
Yeah, it's all narrative driven too.
Yeah.
Something to definitely for them to talk about as far as I think sometimes they even like to direct the game sometimes that way. Like, just it's almost like they do it in the NFL. Whoever's winning, they're like the best thing going. And then as soon as the other team starts coming back, it's like, oh, now, and then they jump sides. So, it should be so much better. But much like the games, All the announcers are all cookie cutter, and then if you're different like Gus Johnson or something like that, then people are gonna bitch about that you're too erratic.
Anybody else? Anyone? Anyone?
What I gotta ask the question, was it just a caption that I saw from that Ohio State game with Michigan that did one of the Michigan guys headbutt a referee?
Yes, he did.
He headbutted the shit out of him.
Yes, he did. Hey, he didn't even get kicked out either.
No, nope. He grazed him.
There's one for you, Ed, for old school. headbutted the referee, didn't even get kicked out.
but I'm not talking about old school being stupid. That's dumb. Like, you don't touch an official. No, I'm talking about like playing football. You know what I mean? Like, there's gonna be hand fighting that goes on. There's gonna be a little bit of tugging of jerseys here and there. Like, that's football. You know what I mean?
Well, on Thanksgiving, I was in the middle of breaking up a brawl at our game, so whatever.
Bottom line is offense drives the fans to watch the game. Most like the casual fan. The hardcore fans like us, we like seeing defense. But these
right.
It's like when hockey, then they change the game to get more scoring because
right.
People are bitching about the games being boring.
It's all about fancy points. Not so much, you know, you don't got college fancy, but it's just about fancy points. You watch some of these games and these people have no fucking clue. Like, why aren't they throwing the ball? I'm like, well, they're up three touchdowns. Like, why the fuck would you throw the ball? Like,
it's all about common sense money, shit, you think. Ratings and Vegas. That's all it is.
Yep. Yep.
And then lastly, I mean, that's pretty much, I you know, all I have to say is just like, if anybody ever has a chance, whether it be on the panel or not, or any of our listeners or watchers, if you ever have a chance to go see an SEC football game, go. You know, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I can honestly say that, Bear Bryant Stadium, I mean, that was pretty cool to be at, not going to lie. And it wasn't even full, and it wasn't even a night game. And there was no question on who was going to win.
How about Michigan paying $12 million worth of NIL money for a quarterback that can't throw the ball?
That's how you really feel, right?
Give it an OC. Give it an OC.
Yeah, I mean, talk about old school football. run, run, run. Let's go. Yeah, third and 12. Okay, screen pass, hand off.
Yeah, let's pull that. Let's pull that up again. Pull that against Matt Patricia. That's always a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, that was that was over before it started.
Yeah. I was so confident. I didn't even watch the game. I went to go see Wicked with the family.
Oh, jeez. I'd rather watch Fort Philly.
The singing was better.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, my God.
Hey, before we leave the sports talk, Phantom, you want to add any NHL for this week? Brad needs time to brush his mustache before we get into the conspiracy theories.
Kind of been kind of a quiet week, actually.
No, can we talk probably about how badass Kyle Palmieri is, though? The guy gets an assist before he skates off with a torn ACL. I mean,
wow. Do you see where they were playing when that happened?
Yes, I did.
America's team, and they still won. So let's not go that route.
And can we talk about probably the surprise player at this point in the season? Boston Bruins, Morgan Geekie, tied for the league lead in goals. He may not. He's got 20 goals. He's tied with Nathan McKinnon. He's not going to be there at the end of the year. But I mean, that's money well spent. I hate Don Sweeney, but I got to give him credit for signing Geeky. Geeky's unbelievable, and he's playing with a bunch of stiffs right now. I mean, I think Elias Lindholm is a center. I mean,
I think the other
that was one of his brighter moves.
Somebody probably owed him that trade somehow, Tom. There was something. He didn't just align the planets for that to work.
I want to wake Brad up, too, for a second. Just talk baseball real quick, because actually the winter meetings start next week. But I want to get his opinion on the trade that his Texas Rangers made, trading Marcus Semien to the Mets for Brandon Nemo.
Man, Texas teams can't have nothing nice. We trade Luca. We trade Micah Parsons. We trade Marcus Semien. But I will say this. His hitting, his batting average went down. He kind of had not a sharp decline, but it definitely went down year over year. I just think he took too much of a beating. The same with Corey Seager, the championship run of 2023. A lot of our guys got injured. And in 2024, it was like kind of a recovery season. In 2025, it was supposed to be the bounce back, but guys just couldn't get healthy, and he was one of them. I'm not mad at it because I wasn't like a huge Semien fan. I was definitely like glad we had him for the World Series run, but we got a lot of youth. We got a lot of young guys, and we couldn't hit the baseball for shit last year. So I just hope that a new guy can swing the bat. We got to hit the baseball. That's the bottom line.
I was reading that Seager's going next.
They're toying with it, man. I think they're looking at money wise. They could send him away. They can make some roster moves there. And I think they're trying to go young. And we have a lot of young stars, dude. Like if we can get another couple Wyatt Langfords on the team, bro, and some Evan Carters, man, and Josh Young, pun intended. We're trying to go young, Josh Young. You get it, third base. All right, anyway. So we got young guys, man. We got to bring them up, and we got some dinosaurs in our pitching rotation. I don't know how much longer DeGrom has in a tank. Can't be that much longer. So, but he's healthy. He was a star. Him and Eovaldi were the highlights of last season. So,
DeGroms are only 25 years old,
right? The thing about the Texas Rangers, though, man, like we know we're not going back to the World Series. Like, as the fans, we know we suck. We've always sucked. We've had some decent teams here and there. We peaked here and there. We finally won a World Series. It'll be another 20 years before we go back. I'm not even stressing it.
I'm just hoping the stocks actually get some of these bats to talk about, not just be blowing smoke up our ass like they have been the past 3 years.
Yeah.
I think they're going to trade a couple of bats before they add any bats. But
I agree.
Thomas, you ready to start wrapping this up with the sports and get into some conspiracy theories?
Absolutely. Here we go. This episode of the 1973 podcast is brought to you by RC Custom Cards. Do you collect cards? Want something truly unique in your hands? RC Custom Cards trains turns ordinary cards into extraordinary. Custom designed trading cards created just for you. Whether you're celebrating a milestone, honoring a team or friend, or building a one-of-a-kind collection, RC Custom Cards crafts premium, personalized cards built to impress. Great quality, great design, and 100% custom. Made for collectors, fans, and anyone who wants something special. Are you ready to elevate your collection? Head to rccustomscards.com and see what you can create. Tell them you heard it on the 1973 podcast.
All right, Brad, hold on a minute. I forgot to bring up something during the wrestling segment of the show, and I want to ask a wrestling conspiracy theory that was brought up by Bret Hart on a Q&A. You know what I'm talking
Boy.
about? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What am I talking
Enlighten
about?
us.
It's your segment. What am I talking about?
Let's just make that the segment. Because first of all, what day is today? The 30th. It ends in a Y. So Bret Hart is somewhere talking shit, right? It 24/7, 365. Put that man on a podcast. He's got something wild shit talking. But he basically said that Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon were banging each other. And I mean, we've all, I think, like
Heard
heard
that story
jokes.
already.
Right. But Bret Hart saying it, I don't know, it gives it a little validity and truth.
He's just a
So,
boy toy.
yeah.
I think that's the stroke talking.
Bro, Bret Hart's always on some shit, man.
For these guys that love the Attitude Era, that we're talking prime Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels controversy, this is the first time that he's actually ever said this. He said the thing about Sonny before, but he's never really said this. Do you think it's how legit do you think it is?
I
I
don't
don't
know,
think it's true
man.
anymore. Come on, panel, let's
Hey,
go.
back
I don't
then,
think he gives a
times were
shit anymore to
different.
say anything.
Times were different, bro. They'd be out. Hey, times were different. And Vince, we know it done some wild shit. I mean, we know. Like, I honestly, like, Bret Hart said the quiet part out loud. Like, we've all talked about it. We suspected it. And, like, how does it get to CTE Bret Hart to be all like, hey, yeah, I'm out of nowhere. I don't even know what the podcast was about, how it even got to that part. Like, was he like, hey, hold up, I have a secret I want to share real quick. Like,
Breaking Muppet News, Bret Hart
yeah, was he
and
like,
Shawn Michaels.
yeah, he's like, hey, Shawn Michaels, yeah, I fucked him. Boom,
Hey.
right?
I'll believe it when Tony Atlas tells me.
Right.
Oh.
He does tell it pretty much on point, though. I will have to say, Tony Atlas. Thomas, what's your thoughts on the Bret Hart comments?
Guy's got to do what he's got to do.
It's just a job, right? Right, fam?
I'm
It's just
just
a
wait. I'm
job.
just watching
It's just a
Ryan
job,
Reynolds get
Phantom.
redder and redder.
I thought the quote was that the heartbreak kid lays down for absolutely nobody.
But Vince?
But Vince,
Edward, what do you think? Was he on the take, as they say?
I have no idea, man. I'm just shocked. I don't even know what to say to this. I mean, my God. I mean, does Bret Hart need to pay his mortgage? Is that it needs to become relevant again for a minute? Is that why he said what he said? I don't know. I mean, we weren't there, so who knows? You weren't there. You weren't there. I
Andy,
mean,
go digging through those old Pro Wrestling Illustrated and see if on this date,
yeah,
January 5th,
I blame Virgil.
1987.
I mean, I don't know. Jeez Louise, man.
The thing that's crazy about it is, so you got that tidbit of information that you've been sitting on for 40 years.
Right?
After all the stuff that went down, now is the time to let that one fly.
Just waits to get on some. What podcast was he on anyway? I don't even remember.
I think it was more like a Q&A. He was like on stage
Yeah.
doing a Q&A, and
Oh, just.
they had a host. that was kind of like taking live questions from fans, and yeah, it kind of parlayed into that.
He just took a random shot, man.
Would that have anything to do with what happened to Shawn Michaels' eye?
Ooh.
Hey,
You might have got some turd in there.
Shaggy,
Bad case of pink eye.
come on now. You gotta know. You gotta have something on this.
What's
You gotta have some kind of comment on that. Is
I'm being
it
good. I'm being good.
are you team Bret Hart or are you team
No.
HBK?
Like you said, how you hang on there for 40 years? Like, okay, now's the time to let out the bag.
Statute of limitations. Maybe
Yep.
they should have Jesse Ventura do a conspiracy theory episode on whether that happened or not.
He would say it was Hulk Hogan, not him.
Right. Oh yeah, how about the other one? About Ric Flair blabbing about Hulk Hogan, how he's freaking, oh, he was taking street drugs and stuff like that.
What? I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
Hear that
so
one.
yeah.
The latest, keeping with the conspiracy theories, Ric Flair came out and said that Hulk Hogan's passing was due to the intake of street drugs.
You want to get more prescriptions?
What, Brad, what do you think?
That's not that far-fetched. Like, he was probably addicted to some pain pills at some point, and as he got older, and I know he got clean and found religion, but I mean, that don't stop the
Jesus juice.
urge, the tendencies, and if he's addicted and maybe also in pain and his doctor couldn't get him the stuff, and maybe he turned to some street shit and got some bogus fentanyl or something, and maybe that's what. Because they wouldn't allow, they didn't do a, when there's some controversy about the toxicology or the autopsy, or there was something where they didn't want to release or get it done on time or something. I remember there's a little bit about that, but I don't know. I wouldn't, I'm not, I don't think that's that far-fetched.
All I know is the thumbnail for this episode is going to be epic. That's all I'm going to say. Thomas, thoughts on that Ric Flair comment?
Ric Flair will say anything to get his face on the TV or in the headlines. I mean, it's bad enough. I just saw like three commercials this today with Ric Flair in it, was selling like insurance or something like that, or like the general or something. I mean, he's the Shaq of wrestling right now.
How is it that Shaq has more money than Ric Flair?
He don't drink
Less
that much.
ex-wives.
Yeah, you don't
Well,
drink that much.
they were also saying this week too, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins was on a podcast as well,
Oh
and Becky Lynch was throwing out some stuff out there saying something
she
about
did.
there's
Lacey Evans.
somebody that's active in the locker room
It's Lesnar.
that tries hooking up with the chicks, and he buries them whether he hooks up with them or not. But the thing that I found weird about it is like she kind of says she says that on the podcast, and then this week, like pre like pay-per-view, well, PLE, whatever you want to call it, they were all of a sudden now that they got her going back and forth with Michael Cole, and then Michael Cole is kind of like, oh, you're just saying all kinds of nonsense now, and it was like this kind of like going back and forth, like kind of like storyline wise, like that, like, oh, Becky's known for saying shit that's not true. Kind of, I was like, oh, this might be a little bit of trying to cover it up and trying to make it seem like it was like a kayfabe thing, like it was a part of the show.
So with the
Seth Rollins is a company man, though, right?
oh yeah.
Yeah,
He
so I
just
mean,
sat there
that's
giggling. He didn't say anything. He sat there
great.
giggling.
Well,
Definitely Brock Lesnar, though.
if you had to take a
All right.
guess, who would you think it was?
Rock.
Or Jericho.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Jericho,
Yeah.
is he on the active roster though? She said he's on the active roster.
Oh, well, they're
She
bringing him
said that
back.
he's currently on the active roster.
Yeah. I
Oh,
thought
I
that.
think so. All I remember him saying is like, oh, you would know him. It was Bert Kreischer's podcast. That's what it was, Bert Kreischer's.
Yeah.
And I think she was just kind of like, oh, you know him. You know who he is.
I kind of thought it was Punk just because they're like anti-punk, and Punk had a lot of those different chicks, and
Oh,
Burns Bridges, like he
maybe.
goes out of style.
Punk's always like the father figure for the young female talent, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
But he hasn't really been there for too long. So I'm
Yeah.
the kind of somebody that's kind of a little bit more like
Yeah, because she said it was when she started.
recent tenure.
So when did they bring them up? Like 2000, what, 15, 16, around there? So who's been there since then?
Probably a ton
Ed,
of
take a
guys.
guess.
It could be somebody. It's got to be somebody that's got some kind of stroke, though. If they actually had the power to bench somebody,
Oh, I know who it is, Paul Heyman.
Hey.
I wonder if it's Cena.
Ooh.
I thought Cena, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Paul Heyman. He's a creepy dude too. Do you see him push that kid?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
He deserved it.
That was awesome.
Fuck that kid.
Hey, I mean, they act like he slapped the kid or something. They even give him a little push.
Yeah.
That's on security.
He
That's
guided
on
him. He guided
security.
him.
See, but here again is we go back right to it. Where do you blur the line between the people that are trying to present themselves as legit and he's a heel and you where what is it? What are you doing with the pro wrestling? Is it make a wish for everybody, or is it, yeah, are you trying to get your character over as a heel? Like last night, not to go back to this diatribe with wrestling psychology, but the bad guys win and they're shaking hands with kids right on camera.
You
What are you
know
doing?
whose kids they were shaking hands with?
Who?
Nick Khan's kissing the boss's ass.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Shows you how much that
I
the
thought the
fifth.
same thing though at the time when we were watching. I'm like, oh, these guys are all bad guys. They're all high-fiving the
Oh,
kids.
so they're sucking up to the highest power, I guess.
Probably not a
They're
bad
pulling a Shawn Michaels.
thing.
So
That's great.
the one thing that holds true with the Vince McMahon reign from 83 till now is the seedy side of pro wrestling in the WWE ranks behind the scenes just never seems to kind of end with these stories about controversial things that nobody wants to come out and say the actual true story to. And even like the McMahon thing, that's all kind of, you don't hear any stories coming out from the witnesses or anything about that trial anymore or anything. And maybe the guy that climbed in the ring was Vince McMahon under a mask for a curb stomp.
It could be anybody because they
Yeah, it
might
could be
just throw somebody
anybody.
on there just to jump the thing, and then when they show the reveal, it's going to be the body type don't fit.
Yeah, it's gonna
Yeah,
be
yeah, yeah.
Hornswoggle when it's all done.
Oh
So, Brad, that is the conspiracy theory for the week.
let's stamp it.
Nice.
I like it.
All right. Well, you're gonna have to come back heavy next week with a good one.
Got you.
All right. So, let's wrap this episode up for this week. Ed, what do you got? You're using PTO from last week, vacation days. Taking a charge.
I'd just like to say again, if anybody has a chance to go to SEC football game, go. I'd also like to, send out a happy Thanksgiving to everybody, all the friends and the family of the podcast, and everybody back home in Massachusetts.
And all the guys down at work.
That too.
Yeah. Shaggy, what do you got?
Yeah, I give a shout out to my son, Caden. He passed his real estate test this past week, so a problem with that. But
Oh, well, there's big money in that, I've heard.
Jordan quick.
Yeah, stop flipping houses, damn
Goddamn right.
it.
Tell them to stop flipping them before they go up back down to 300K.
Back down. What town you live in? Jesus.
Professor, what do you got this week?
I want to give a shout out to two of my cousins, Josh and Ryan. Their dad, Michael George, passed away last night at the age of 70. Just go get your chuff checked out, people. He passed away of cancer. Just thinking, you guys.
Phantom.
Where do I go from there? I'm gonna shout out the commissioner of this podcast, your hockey hero. That throws me under the bus. It makes me pick a movie off the top of my head.
It was your pick, though. It was. Yeah, I can't. You gotta stay. It goes in a formula. You just know your part. You're coming after Brad every time. Just remember, it goes by seniority on here. That's how we do
Now
it.
we know the formula.
we run it like the factory. It's seniority based.
Ooh.
That, and just like that, we don't have a union either.
like Lane Cliff, if I sign for another job for a higher paying podcast, is Brad gonna be mad at me?
I'll be pissed, guaranteed.
I think I'll be pissed. Charity starts at the home.
I think that we all need to put on our resumes if we ever do decide to leave the companies that we work for. And we should put, what's your job aspiration? To be a fired LSU coach, football coach. I'm putting that down. I think that's pretty good.
Career day.
There you go. $54 million.
Bradford, what do you got?
I want to shout out the Ole Miss reporter that after the Egg Bowl, he told Lane Kiffin he can't turn a hoe into a housewife. And Lane, like, tried to fight him, like, before the presser. And it was, like, this big deal. Anyway, that guy got drugged for, like, 24 hours. People were hateful to him, talking shit to him for talking shit to Lane. Turns out he was right. And now they're making shirts. So,
now he's a pimp.
Yeah, good on you. Also, man, fuck Lane Kiffin. Bleep that out.
Well, you know,
there's no bleep on this show. That costs extra money.
Man, bleep that one.
We just got shadow banned. We're going to go from 22 to 12.
Yeah. Worth it.
It's worth it. When you have creative freedom, it's worth it. It's like, you know, kind of refreshing just to drop the god, have at it, tell somebody to go jump in the lake or give them the bird and say, take that walking. So, yeah, once again, I'll try to clean this up at the end of the show. It's the holiday season. It came around Thanksgiving. We missed our Halloween episode. Disappointed about that. That's always a good one. We'll have to make up for it next year. But going into year four almost. Next month of January, you'll be going into the fourth year. It's been awesome. I mean, I think we've stayed kind of true to what we do. We've never kind of changed. I don't think we've really done anything that we haven't, you know, said we weren't going to do from the beginning. We've just tried to aspire and get the guys together and have some fun and talk to people that are like-minded individuals and just keep it going and, you know, meet cool people along the way. And it seems like from, you know, if you look at the posts this week from Doug, I want to add to that. He responded, Doug Smith from the movie The Goon. He had fun, great things to say about the guys on the show. And, you know, whether you're a hockey fan or not, I mean, these people, and we just try to connect and inspire try to, the true thing I never want to lose is the fun that we have with the banter that we have, and just try to push that forward in a world of, how can I put it? In a world of everything has to be the same. We like to paint with a wide stroke with our comedy, our views on, Gen X and growing up and everybody that we have fun with. And whether you've been on one episode or whether you've been on every episode, you're a part of the show, and, you know, hopefully it keeps growing. Hopefully everybody agrees.
He said stroke.
I did.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Easy, Billy Squire.